Beloved congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this morning from the scripture part that we have been reading, the first part of Romans 6. And I read, especially as the text verse for the sermon, verse 6, Romans 6, verse 6, where we read, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." The theme of the sermon is, "The old man is crucified with Christ." 3 points of attention: shall we continue in sin? Second point, united with Christ. And the third point, yield yourselves unto God. The theme is, "The old man is crucified with Christ." 3 points: shall we continue in sin, united with Christ, and yield yourselves unto God? Congregation, there was an evangelist who was preaching every Sunday, having a congregation that he served, and one day someone asked to his neighbor, "Well, why do you not go to the church of your neighbor, of that evangelist?" And that neighbor said, "Well, no, you know, I can see what is behind his house, in his backyard. I can see the stuff that is there." And this evangelist was teaching, "We are not under the law, but under grace." And he explained it in such a way that it doesn't mean only that we are not under the curse of the law. And that's true. If we know grace, we are no longer under the curse of the law. But he also said it did mean for him that he didn't have to be obedient to the law of the Lord. And that's why he was stealing stuff, and his neighbor saw it in his backyard, and well, he didn't understand, and he didn't like it, and he didn't visit his church. Oh, what a bad thing if our behavior would make people to stay away from the Lord and his service. And there is always that danger that we try to find a way to continue in sin. I don't know if you ever experienced that in your own life. What is asked here in the beginning of Romans 6, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Shall we continue in sin? Our heart is so full of deceit that we try to find ways to continue in certain sins. And that's why Scripture is warning us against sin, not only in the Old Testament, where we read, like we did this morning, the Ten Commandments, but we see the Ten Commandments coming back in the New Testament. We see it in the letters of Romans, that he's saying, "He who has been stealing, let him steal no more." And the other commandments, we find them also in the New Testament. So there is a need that we are taught about the law of God even after we have received grace, because we are also so ready to forget, and also so full of deceit that we try to find ways to continue in certain sins. There is a person who is having the wrong habit to lie. And he did it all his life because, you know, he wanted people to think better of him than he was. So he always tried to escape from things by lying. It was a way of living to him. And when, you know, he heard in the church that you should not lie, he escaped by thinking, "Well, but, you know, nobody knows." Or he always tried to find a way to escape, and it's not doing harm to anybody. And so we are so full of deceit that we try to escape. And there's a question in this chapter: what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? There's not an argument, there's not a reason why you could think that you can continue in sin, because then grace will abound. When you sin and you confess your sin, you repent, then there is grace for a poor sinner. There is forgiveness in the work and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus and in his blood. And how good it is to receive grace. So the more you sin, the more grace you can receive. Isn't that a logical thing? Isn't that true? So what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And that would be nice. Then I can continue in those sins that I like. There are some of them, you know, some I do not like and I stop them. Or sins that people can see, I stop them because I don't like people to think in a bad way about me. But there are those sins that I like to continue in a hidden way. We all have them, I think, isn't it? There are those that like to speak about another one in a bad way so that he feels better. You know, if I can put that person in a low position, I feel myself in a high position. And that's a good feeling. We like it. So I like to continue with slandering and doing that sin. And we try to find ways to escape. Isn't that true? Maybe there's someone who is stealing from his employer. Not big things, but he's doing it continually, and well, he likes it and he wants to continue with it, and he said, well, he has enough, and all those reasons you can find to continue in sin. So shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the apostle is very clear about it. He says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Well, that's impossible, says the apostle. It's impossible that we should do that. How can we do that if we are dead to sin? He says, when we are converted, when the Holy Spirit has been working in our heart to make us admit our sins, to confess our sins, to repent about our sins, how can we continue in sin? In fact, we are dead to sin. We are like a dead body to sin. So sin can do nothing with me. I'm like a dead body, and sin cannot use me anymore. My life has been changing so much. Oh, what an important truth to see that. But we find in Scripture the warning that people like to continue in sin. We read it in the letter of Jude. He is writing about it in the general epistle of Jude. We read in verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, that means lustfulness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So it was not a new thing. It already existed in the days of Jude, who was writing his letter and writing about that. And we read it also in the letter of Peter, the second letter of Peter. We also read about this danger of people who try to continue in sin, and they misuse the teaching of the gospel. They abuse it. We read in 2 Peter 3, verse 16, as also in all his epistles, and he's speaking about Paul, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest or twist, distort, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. So they are twisting the truth of the gospel, and they are going to be destroyed if they will continue in this. What a danger it is. If you serve sin and you want to continue, and you imagine you think that you know grace, you are deceiving yourself. There should be a real change in your life, that your will is changed and that you do not want to serve sin anymore. I'm not saying that you will not serve sin anymore, or that you will not do any sin anymore, but you will not be a slave of sin anymore, like Peter is speaking in his second letter, the second chapter. He says, well, they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. So if you want to continue in serving sin, then you are a slave of sin, and not a servant, a slave of the Lord Jesus. It is impossible. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve the Lord Jesus and at the same time serve your sinful flesh and have peace with sin in your life and rest in a sinful life. No, you will have a desire to fight sin and to stop it by the strength of the Lord Jesus. Is that true in your life? Do you experience it? Or are you having that you are deceived by yourself and say, well, I can continue in this sin or that sin because, and then you have your reasons. Well, this morning the Lord is warning you. Says, well, that's impossible. If you belong to the Lord Jesus, you will not like to continue in sin. You will hate sin. You will not serve sin. So what is the sin in your life that your flesh likes to continue in? Is it alcohol? Is it drugs? Or maybe you say, no, we don't do that. Well, it can be done in a very hidden way. Is it money that you love more than the Lord Jesus? So you have to kill that sin in your life by the love of Christ in your heart. Or is it the modern media, looking the sinful things of the world and enjoying in it? And that sin that is giving food to your old sinful nature, your flesh, what is it in your life? Is it that you love the honor of man, to be honored by man more than to honor God? That you steal the honor of God? Is it that you love to have power over others instead of serving others with the love of Christ? What is it? And how are you behaving to those sins? Are you in peace with those sins? Or are you in enmity against those sins? Are you fighting against it by the power of the Word and the Holy Spirit in your heart, by seeking communion to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that He will renew you inside more and more? And that's really a thing that happens in the hearts of the children of God. The Holy Spirit is given to them, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of sanctification. And you will experience joy in being renewed by the Holy Spirit, in being made free of all those sins that were ruling your life before. Like the apostle says at the end of chapter 6, we will come to that later, that you are ashamed of those things now that you liked before. Oh, I hope you all know that change in your heart and life, that you are ashamed about those sins and that you hate them. And you will hate them if you see what it costed Christ to pay for those sins. So the secret of renewal of your life is in the fellowship by faith with the Lord Jesus. The more you know Him, the more you are united to Him, the more your life will be renewed. And you will not abuse the gospel by saying, well, there's grace, so I can continue in sin. You will not probably say that openly, but you can see it in this world and in churches that people behave in that way, that they continue in sin and that they even do not hate it. So we need to experience and to live a life united with Christ. That's our second point this morning. What does it mean to be united with Christ? Such a wonderful thing. The apostle says in chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? To be united with Him. It means that He is your hope, and that He is your safety, and that He is your security, that you rest in Christ, and that the Lord is looking upon you as if He is looking upon His Son, Jesus Christ. That you by faith are united with the Lord Jesus. So that you read in the Word about the Lord Jesus, and that you will trust in Him and experience His love, see His love in the Word written about it, and that you will receive it in your heart, that you know by faith, He came to save me from eternal wrath and from the eternal punishment, and His love in my heart is the most precious thing in this world. Do you know something of that, young people? Do you know that in your life? Something of that love of Christ. And what does it mean? In the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Romans, he is explaining what it means. Maybe you know grace. You know what it means to be changed inside by the power of the Word and the Holy Spirit. But you do not understand everything about being united with Christ. And the apostle is speaking about it, what it means. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? So he says, you were baptized into Jesus Christ in His name. And that means that you were united to Him. So baptism is a sign of being united to the Lord Jesus. I'm not saying that the act of baptism itself is uniting, but it is a sign showing what happens when you are united to the Lord Jesus. It is a sign to strengthen your faith, to encourage you, and it's showing you that work of regeneration, being washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you are united to Him, that you are one with Him by faith. And that means that what is from Him, what is of the Lord Jesus, it belongs to you. His righteousness, you receive it for free. And what belongs to you, what you have, He is taking it. It belongs to Him. He is taking your sin, your guilt. He was made sin for you. And now the apostle said, it also means when you were baptized into Jesus Christ, you were baptized into His death. So when the Lord Jesus Christ died at the cross, he didn't die for himself there, but he died for his church, for all that would believe in him. And so then his death was my death. I died, my flesh died in his dying at the cross. So now I do not live in my old situation in the flesh, but I live by the Lord Jesus. Let's see what the Apostle Paul is writing about that in the letter to the Galatians in such a nice and powerful way. He is writing about it in Galatians 2, verse 20. He is writing, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. So when the Lord Jesus was crucified, Paul was crucified. His old man, his old sinful flesh and nature is crucified, is nailed to the cross, died with the Lord Jesus. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul says, I'm crucified. My sinful life, my old nature, the old man, my flesh is crucified. I'm like a dead body to sin. I'm useless to sin. Sin has lost its authority over me. What can sin do with a dead body? If you are crucified with Christ, then sin will have not that old authority over you like it had before. Did you ever think about that? You know the Lord, I hope you can say that. You know grace. Did you ever think about this deep truth? That unity with the Lord Jesus, that when he died at the cross, that you died with him, and yet you live. Not you, but Christ is living in you. That's a new life. What is from Christ is from you. So, how could you serve sin? How could you say, let's continue in sin when you are united to Christ? It's impossible. That unity with Christ makes it really impossible to serve sin. You are baptized into Jesus Christ, and then that means baptized into his death. Baptism is a sign. If you are baptized in the name of someone, it's showing that you are united to that person. We even read about the people of Israel, that they were baptized unto Moses. We read it in 1 Corinthians 10. That people was, when they went through the Red Sea, the Lord made a strong connection between the people of Israel and Moses. And he was their leader. They followed him. And now, so that is used. That picture of baptism is even used there in the Old Testament about the connection of the people of Israel to Moses. And it's much more true about being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means that we belong to him. So you are baptized, children. Did you ever think about that? I think most of us, all of us, are baptized. So your parents took you to the church when you were still very young. You were not able to understand, but it happened, and they told you afterwards, and you received that sign of baptism, that you do not have the right to live for yourself, but that the Lord has the right to receive you and that he is willing to save you, to forgive your sin, think about your baptism and pray about it, that the Lord may apply it to your heart so that you will experience that power of the blood of the Lord Jesus in your life and that unity to him, that he may by faith work in your heart in such a way that you may experience, receive that unity to the Lord Jesus. And then it is true in your life that you do not live anymore, but you died with Christ at the cross. So, oh, what a rich thing if you think about that. There's no need for me to sin anymore. Sin has lost its authority over me. I'm free like that slave. I use that example sometimes in the sermon. There was a slave born as a slave, and then he was free because slavery stopped, and he received the letter about being free, and he read it, and he saw it, and he knew it. But then that old slave master came and said, "Hey, do this." And he did it. So he was free. But he didn't live according to his freedom. Do you? Do you live according to your freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do you make yourself again a slave to sin? Are you going back into the darkness and that corruption of sin? Oh, what a difference it is if you cleave to sin or sin cleaves to you. And that's what I experience. Sin is cleaving to me. I hate it. I'm sad about it. It happens. But I will not cleave to sin because of the work of the Lord in my heart, because of the love of Christ. My flesh, it does. But my new nature, that's how I am by grace. I do not stick to sin, but sin sticks to my heart. You experience that? Or do you stick to sin? Do you want to continue in sin? Did you never see this? That where the Lord came in your life, it was true of you that you died with Christ at the cross? No need to continue in sin anymore. But then the apostle is not stopping there. He says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Not only died, but even buried. And to be buried, it makes it very clear that you died. Everybody can see it. You are not to be seen anymore. You are in the grave. So you do not exist on earth anymore in that way, to be alive. So the apostle says you were buried with Christ, like he was buried. You are. So that it is impossible to live that old life. It died, it's even buried with him by baptism into that. You are united to the Lord Jesus so much that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And that's, you know, that belongs to it. That's the same thing. If you are united to Christ, you are crucified with him, even buried. That old sinful life, it's behind you. That being ruled by sin and Satan, that being in total darkness, no, everything became new. In Christ, you are a new creature. That's the truth from the Word. I'm not speaking about your experience now. But do you see that? Do you believe that? And then this follows, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead By the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life, that we would raise in a new life. By the glory of the Father, that's what God is doing in the lives of people. Not that they will be glorifying and boasting in themselves, but to give all the glory to God. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. If we would deny that, we would deny the power of the Holy Spirit living and working in the hearts of man here on earth, here and now. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that a body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So we should be very clear about how it is written here. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. That is where it starts. If the Lord is working in your heart, this is the truth about your life, and you have to know it. You have to think about it. You have to pray about it, so that you may see it more and may experience it as a fruit also in your heart and life, that our old man is crucified with him. And then it follows that the body of sin might be destroyed. So the body of sin, you could say your total old sinful existing life, the old man, that the body of sin. Well, that's strange, isn't it? Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. So if it is crucified, then it is destroyed, isn't it? But then it follows, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Yes, that's how Scripture is speaking about being saved. It is true in Christ, and by faith you embrace it. Say, yes, that is true of me. But then it will become true in your life, by experience and practically, by the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's such a wonderful thing, if you see it in the right order and don't turn it. Some people, many times we try to turn it. We try to destroy the old man, the body of sin. We try to destroy it and think, well, then maybe one day I will be crucified with Christ. So we try to climb up. And that's impossible. We have a hard time and we cannot make it to kill sin in our lives and to be renewed in our own strength. That's impossible. We have a burden, we are under a stress. Can I make it? No, I cannot. Oh, how bad, how difficult. But we didn't see it in the right way. We didn't see this glorious truth that by faith we may know that it happened already in Christ. So I do not need to perform it myself with my own efforts and my own strength. No, but it happened in Christ. And now what is in Christ, it belongs to me. And that's such a wonderful thing in my heart. Oh, that's such a glory of the Father in my life, that it will also happen, that the old sinful man will be destroyed. You understand that a body of sin might be destroyed is what is following from what I see in faith is true about me, because it is true about Christ. It is in him. It's all finished. It's all done. by him. And now that belongs to me. And that's a thing, that's the source from which a new life is coming, and from which that the body of sin will be destroyed. Oh, if I belong to Christ in such a way, why should I sin? Yeah, why are you still sinning? Oh, you remember that slave? He was free, but he didn't live at the right level of freedom. It was not, you know, slavery was still in his heart. Sin is still sticking to me. I hate it, but it happens. And there was a certain captain who stole a ship from the owner. And then the owner, took the ship back, and he shut that captain up down in the ship. And then the sailors hadn't to listen anymore to that captain. But then that captain, he opened a window somewhere and he shouted to the sailors, "Hey, that direction!" And so he tried to change the direction of the ship, although it was now under the right authority. So that's what Satan is doing in our life. That's what sin is doing in our life. Opening a window here and there and shouting, and so that we would change in the wrong direction. Is that what you experience? Oh, that we may see the truth more clear and more powerful, that the old man of sin might be, the old body of sin might be destroyed, like it is in Christ. Like a sea in faith. Let us sing before we continue. Psalter 4:19, stanza 1 till 3. Psalter 4:19, stanza 1. For from thy courts, thy sacred dwelling, in jubilant accord, we hear sweet strains of praises swelling. We sing 4:19, stanza 1 till 3. beloved congregation, would that be possible for you, young people? And each and every one of us, would it be possible for you to experience such a new life? Maybe you think, well, now it's too bad in my life. Now, for me, there's no new life. I can really see that in my life. But then it seems that you are still looking up on your own performance, your own good works, what you are doing. And that's not what the Word is teaching us. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. That's where grace started. Not in our experience, but in what Scripture is saying. If you look upon Christ, only look upon him, to trust him and expect everything from him, this truth is coming to us. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to apply to us. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Not because I experience it, but because what the Lord is saying about me. That's where it starts. So, stop to try to perform so much that you are worthy. You are not. I'm not. It's grace. Undeserved grace. Likewise, verse 11, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. Oh, if I would experience it. No, Paul says, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him. Do you have that faith in your heart? Faith is not the same as sight or experience. Now experience is a fruit at the Lord's time and in the measure that the Lord is willing to give it to you. But faith is resting in the Word, resting in the Gospel, resting in the promise, resting in God, resting in Christ, outside of yourself. There's only way to be saved. There will never be a ground or foundation in yourself. Now, if we be dead, if that is true, with Christ, and it is true, we believe that we shall also live with him. Oh, what a hope, what an expectation in your heart. We shall live with him. He went so deep, suffered and died at the cross, and was even in the grave buried. But he resurrected, and he ascended into heaven. And there he is living in the glory of his Father. And there he is for all eternity in glory. And the same will be true for you. If you expect everything from the Lord Jesus, then this will be what you will experience, like Christ is experiencing it now. He also, in his human nature, is in heaven now, in glory. And that will be given to you. We shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death had no more dominion over him. So death lost its dominion over him. And we said, when Christ died, I died at the cross. So death, in a certain way, has lost its dominion over me. Because death is the punishment of sin, the wages of sin. But if Christ took my punishment upon himself, then death lost its dominion over me. If he paid for my sin, I will not have to pay for my sin anymore. There will be not a double pay, will there? So death has changed. Its character has changed. We still have to die, and that's bad. Oh, the shadow of death can be over your life. When you are young, especially when you grow old. And it can make you afraid, and Scripture says it is the last enemy, death. But we have to see that the sting of death is no more there. It's changed its character. It has been becoming a gate to glory for the children of God. Oh, do you think about that? What a wonderful truth. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lived unto God. To live unto God. Yield yourself unto God. There's a third point. That we would yield ourselves unto God. Like Christ is living now to God, unto God. Neither yield ye your... No, let's see what's written in verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. So first it's said in verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we should not live a hopeless life, but a new life. In this knowledge, in this certainty that we be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. It's not the same as it was before, but I'm alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then it comes in verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. So there is a need to admonish the children of God about this. Paul, the Holy Spirit is doing it by Paul here. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. That can happen to a child of God. It can happen for a while, like it happened to David. There's a warning here. Oh, we do so much harm to ourselves. But David couldn't live, couldn't continue. He did it for some time without confessing. Oh, it's so bad. If you are united to Christ and then you start to serve sin and not confess it to the Lord, he says, my bones dried up. That's really bad. It's impossible. If you are one with Christ, if you know that glory in your soul of Christ, if you know that comfort, that love of Christ in your heart, and then to serve sin, to make yourself a servant of sin, no. Then you make a distance between Christ and your soul, and you cannot bear it. Oh, you cannot take it. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. What does it mean? Yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. What are your members? Maybe you think about your hand. That's right. Your feet. You can walk with your feet to serve sin. certain place. You can go to sinful places. And you can use your hands to sin. You can use your eyes, your members, your ears to sin. Especially your mouth, your tongue to sin against your neighbor, against God. And the apostle says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. So we should not do that. But when we speak about our members, we should not only think about our eyes, our hands, our ears, our tongue. We also can think about our mind. All our capacities are like members that we can use. God has given it to us in our creation, given us capacities, abilities, like our fantasy, our mind, our thinking. What can we do with our thoughts? How much are our thoughts doing in our lives? But don't yield your mind, your thoughts, your fantasy, your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Yeah. Your thoughts. How do you use them? When you are older, you have time to think. When you are young, and your thoughts can have such a power and influence, making you desiring to do things you are thinking about. Yeah. Oh, don't do it. We shouldn't allow our thoughts to be instruments of sin. And then the apostle is continuing. Maybe you say, well, but it's easy to say that there in the pulpit, but to practice it, I know, but it should be said that we should pray the Lord to rule, to reign our thoughts. It starts in our thoughts and our hearts, our fantasy, what we look at, what we hear. It's having an influence in our heart. Don't use them as instrument of sin. Don't do it. But what should I do then? It's so powerful in my life. It happens before I can stop it. Yeah. The apostle doesn't stop in this verse. He's continuing. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Oh, I find it so difficult to use my thoughts, my members, all my capacities as instruments of righteousness. Now listen, how good it is, how important to see what the apostle said, but yield yourselves unto God. There's the secret, there's the solution, there's the key. He starts to say, well, don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. But then he continues and he says, you know what is necessary in your life? That you yield yourself. And the Lord has the right to leave yourself. So yourself, that's your whole being, your heart, your mind, your thoughts, your emotions, your desires, everything. And then, you know, that's how it can change in your life. That's how it needs to change yourself. That you give yourself restless to the Lord. Say, Lord, here I am. Take my life. I cannot manage my own life. I cannot rule my members. Oh, let the Lord Jesus be king in my life. And then it follows in verse 13 that your members will be used as instruments of righteousness unto God. That is what God will be doing in your life. If He is the one that you belong to, He is the one ruling your hearts, your thoughts, your emotions. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Oh, what a wonderful life. Young people, children, I hope you seek it and you will find it. And you will experience it. It's sure. It's the truth. It's what the Lord is teaching in His Word. It's not a lie. The Lord cannot lie. No. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. That's the secret. That's how it's changing. If you know by faith I'm not under the law, if that burden of condemnation and curse is taken from your shoulders, I'm not under the curse of the law, but under grace. I'm free. I'm in the favor of God by Christ, then you are out of that stress and out of that situation of trying to manage it yourself. There's such a holy, relaxing, resting in Christ. It's done. And there's no need anymore to sin. I belong to Him. Oh, what a glory. Let us give all the glory to God forever. Amen. Let us thank the Lord and pray together. O Lord, we come to Thee. Bless this word for our souls. We need it. We need to know the gospel. We need to know the Lord Jesus. We need to know Him by faith. To be united to Him, apply it to our hearts, O Lord. And that we will not try to rest in our experience, that we rest in the Word that became flesh, in the Son of God, became man, and He died. And in faith, I can say I died with Him. But like He resurrected, there is a resurrection for me, in my life. There's a new life, a life with Christ, a life by the Spirit. Oh Lord, that we may have those fruits from the Spirit. What a joy it is, and what a source, what a fountain of glorifying Thee and thank Thee of gratitude. Lord, forgive us everything that was not according to Thy holy will in speaking and listening. Bless us in the catechism classes and the Sunday school classes. Bless the young people. Oh, give them this joy, this glory, this liberty, this freedom to walk with Christ. We cannot manage it our lives ourselves. Oh, Lord, we need Thee. Save us. We pray it all for Christ's sake. Amen.